Hello, good people, and welcome to the Alchemy of Light broadcast. I am Jamil Graham, your host, and Alchemy of Light is an exploration of consciousness, how we feel and think. And today, I am very grateful to be welcoming a very important message and person to the broadcast to share with us about a phenomena that is happening in our skies, thus happening to all of us in ways that we have not perhaps fully recognized in our consciousness. And so this particular broadcast for me has a very special quality in that if there were ever a more pressing issue, I don't know what it is right now, because what is happening in our skies with the geoengineering and chemtail programs, raining aluminum, etc., on all of us and affecting all life, is certainly worthy and pressing of all of our conscious focus and attention. So I would like to please welcome Mr. Michael J. Murphy. He is a co-producer of a movie, What in the World Are They Spraying? It came out last year, and I am so grateful that he put together this very well-documented compilation of testimonials, evidence, traveling across the states, finding a lot of concerned people. I, for myself, have been watching the chemtrail phenomena since 1998, and upon receiving this movie and finding that, in fact, we are not alone, that there are many of us who are concerned, and his movie bringing valuable information that has given me more tools to work with, I'm so grateful to bring him here to all of you. So, hello, Michael.
Hello, Jamil. How are you? Thank you for having me on.
Thanks for having the time to bring forth this message. And would you please begin by sharing with the listeners how you began this journey, and, you know, where did you notice chemtrails in your life, and then the birthing of the interest for producing this? And in the conversation of consciousness, something births our interest. So I wonder if you could start there.
Well, absolutely, and I must say that the production of What in the World Are They Spraying, we saw miracle after miracle, so it definitely had spiritual guidance. It was when I lived in Arizona, I moved out there in the late 1980s, and when I moved there, I remember I moved there from Chicago, and the skies were a deep blue, and there was rarely a blemish, you know, except when a winter storm came in. But I had moved away for a while and then moved back into, got around about 2005, and I began to notice that we had what appeared to be high clouds, cirrus clouds in these jet trails that were in the sky. And I said, wow, I wonder if something had changed. Maybe there's more moisture in the air. Really didn't know what it was, but still it did not click. My consciousness had not been triggered at that time. It wasn't until a couple of years later, somebody had told me that airplanes were flying in the sky. They were dispersing aerosols from tanker airplanes to create the artificial clouds. And I said, like most people, I said, aren't those normal natural contrails? And the answer was no. Contrails usually dissipate in about 4 to 5 seconds. It's very similar to when we breathe in cold air. But the chemtrail issue, those are aerosols, and after they're sprayed out, of course, they do not dissipate, but they spread out and create cloud cover, exactly what geoengineers are proposing. But I really didn't become too involved with it until I went out on Hollywood Boulevard. I did a video called, it was called Environmental Deception, the Difference Between a Chemtrail and a Contrail, and I found that most people were largely unaware of this issue. So I made that video, and it was pretty successful. But here's where the spiritual part and the part of our creator comes in. It wasn't, somebody had asked me, and I recently moved to L.A. It was a couple months later and had difficulty finding work. And somebody had asked me to go to a geoengineering conference. I was very reluctant because it was in San Diego and there was, you know, some costs associated with it, but I went. And for 3 days, we listened to geoengineers talk about their plans and proposals, you know, spraying 10 to 20 million tons of toxic aluminum into the sky. And they discussed their programs, the damage that and the risks associated with such programs. So when I came back, I decided to write an article. Didn't have a very long history of writing articles, but I do have a somewhat of a background in writing. And wasn't sure it would get any press, but I submitted it at night, this article. And when I woke up in the morning, I actually put my my cell phone in the article in my email address. My email box was packed. My phone was ringing off the hook. And the article went viral. It went around the world. It was translated into a bunch of different languages, and people actually asked me to come and start filming and investigating it. So what in the world are they spraying? Started with a borrowed camera, essentially I had some famous people that came on board and asked to get involved with this. And G. Edward Griffin, my co-producer, asked if he could help fund this project. And we put out an appeal out to the public. We hit our funding goals in about a day and a half, and I think we set a record for a documentary film. Got some very quality people. Barry Kolsky, who is a very talented editor, was part of the project, and he did very well. And now this film has been seen. It's been estimated by over 10 million people worldwide, so it's had an effect, and it's created a movement. And, you know, as you said in the introduction, we believe there's no greater issue than this at hand right now, and hopefully we can talk about some of the environmental consequences. And then I think it's always healthy to talk about solutions to these problems and get people to address this and in a state of faith. This certainly is not a fear-based message, but it is a faith-based message. And really being that the human spirit, we are very powerful. There's power in the spoken word, but we have to exercise that. And that's why it's so important to address issues like this, because it just amazes me, although we've, again, seen millions of people wake up to these programs, there is or has been a lack of awareness in the conscious community, and I believe that our community has spiritual power, which can create the protection of our planet. So I think it's essential that we become aware of this and then start addressing it. That was kind of a long answer, wasn't it, Jamil?
Oh, that was perfect. I appreciated that because, you know, what you shared brings your humanity, your human experience into it. And, you know, we all have data and important information, but when it boils down, we're all real people in this and we all have our stories connected. So thank you very much for sharing that. And please continue and share with us the about the aluminum, borium, and sulfurs that are well documented that you found in your research, and just segue right into some of the environmental impact, and this will nicely lead to the implications of such a program at the scale that it has been launched.
Well, absolutely. And again, geoengineers' proposals include spraying 10 to 20 million tons of toxic aluminum into our skies. Aluminum is very toxic. We'll get into that in a minute. But there are a number of geoengineering patterns that also call for barium, that were designed to spray barium out of airplanes, as well as what's commonly referred to as the Welsbach pattern, which was designed to specifically spray aluminum oxide into our sky. And the first part of our investigation started in Mount Shasta, and that was the first group that asked me to come up and investigate this. And it was interesting because I was not very aware of this. So the story of the documentary really is my investigation as somebody who was looking into this, curious, and really uncovered a lot of facts. And about 7 years ago, scientists in that area began noticing that the forest was dying. Trees were not growing. Certain organic foods were starting to show a decline. So they started wondering why and doing pH tests. And typically, Newman, California has an acidic soil. So what they had found was that the soil pH was increasing considerably. We're not talking about 3 times, 4 times the normal alkalinity. We're talking about anywhere between 10 to 12 times the normal alkalinity, as well as the rain. The rain had been changing as well, and they noticed that there was a pattern in the rain when the trails were present. When the trails were present before a storm or during a storm, they noticed that the pH turned alkaline. So anyways, what they had found, again, the pH was changing, but they decided to test further and started doing rain tests. Rain tests are very good indicators of what is in our atmosphere. And what they found was shocking. They found considerable amount of what many are calling the chemtrail geoengineering footprint of aluminum, barium, and strontium. Aluminum, barium, and strontium, those oxides, aluminum oxide specifically, will change the pH of the soil. When the pH of the soil changes, plant life that requires an acidic soil will start to die. Exactly what's happening. And it's interesting to point out that a number of plants actually in bioavailable aluminum, aluminum oxide, actually have root systems that will shut down, so it will not absorb that toxin into the root system. So that's the reason for the deaths in that area. We're not talking about one or two tests. We're talking about literally hundreds of tests now, because people are becoming aware that have been coming in from around the world and all showing this geoengineering footprint of aluminum, barium, and strontium. So it's interesting because we see plant life declining. We see natural organic foods not growing, but I think the question that needs to be asked is this. Who benefits from these programs? Why would geoengineers do this if they knew their programs were so damaging? And geoengineers are very open about the toxicity of their programs, but they tell us, of course, that their programs are to block the sun and mitigate global warming. However, a number of studies have recently been provided, some from NASA, stating that putting aerosols into the sky will not actually create a temporary cooling, but increase the overall warming of the planet because they act as a blanket. So the question is, why are they doing this? And I think the next part of what in the world are they spraying to discuss was when we're in Hawaii. And we flew out to Hawaii, and we stayed on a natural organic farm on Maui, and it was really interesting because we got to the farm and they were completely off the grid. So we stayed in a little grass hut with candles, and I woke up the next morning and I was really hungry. And I asked the people, I said, I'm a little hungry. Is there a store or something that I can go and get something to eat? And they all started laughing at me. And they said, look around. I said, what are you talking about? Look around. I said, look around. There's food all around. You can have your breakfast right from the tree. And the reason I bring up that experience, for me and for most people, it was just an incredible experience because for the first time, I had lived, I believe, as God had created, directly from nature, eating food right off the tree. And it was really a beautiful way to live. During that trip, and now he is being sprayed like roaches, a public official who is now supporting our work performed over 30 rain tests, all which revealed contamination from this geoengineering footprint of aluminum, barium, and strontium. But anyways, the lifestyle there I really respected, and I believe that's how we were created, to live as nature had provided, not dependent on stores or corporations. I believe that the earth has natural food for us all to eat, and when we're in alignment with that, we're in the natural order and balance of things. But anyways, getting back to my point, what I had learned was there is a new aluminum-resistant GMO seed. So we know our soils are being contaminated with aluminum, but we now know that there's been a patent for a seed that will grow in this new environment. So we see natural organic foods starting to die, and this is one of many agendas to these programs, but the concern is this. Again, I respect the way of life, and I actually value it the way that my friends and now we live. In Maui, certain crops have seen up to a 50% decline in their ability just in the past couple of years to grow natural organic foods. The question is this. Is this in part an agenda to destroy our ability to grow natural organic foods so that we as a world become dependent on this corporate system for our food? And the concern on the farm is maybe in a couple of years they will not be able to grow any food and they will be dependent to survive on this corporate system. And that's really the end of freedom as we know it. And what would the requirements be to get GMO seeds? Would they have to go to classes? You know, we don't know, but it looks like it's an attack on natural systems that were given to us for free so that we become dependent on the corporate system. But I'm very long-winded today, and I appreciate you giving me the time for this, but I just finished producing a short video called Why in the World Are They Spraying Into? It's about weather control and weather modification. And geoengineers talk and boast about their ability to heat up over 400 square miles of our atmosphere. Why would they want to heat up our atmosphere if they were simply trying to block the sun and protect us from this supposed threat of global warming? Well, it doesn't make sense. If it usually doesn't make sense, then there's probably another agenda. Well, I came to learn that aluminum, while it's not a very effective conductor for wires in our home, it's a very effective conductor in the sky due to its light weight and other properties. So in doing so, they can emit frequencies believed to be from the HARP system, and they are able to heat up the atmosphere. And what does that do? Well, if you heat up the atmosphere, you can create a lift in our atmosphere and actually create low-pressure systems and high-pressure systems. So many people are aware that our weather has been way out of balance. Many people are aware that there have been floods in places, droughts in other places. And the chemtrail geoengineering issue, believed by most people now, is directly related to weather control. And the first time I heard that, I've been aware of weather modification, but weather control, corporatizing our weather, is stated in a military document called Owning the Weather by 2025 as a stated agenda of our military. So in the past, we've seen farming communities, other communities who might be in a drought, use various weather modification methods to seed clouds and produce rain for their crops, and that is still being used. But this is complete corporatization of our weather. What the system is doing, I call it the beast. It's part of this government corporate conglomerate. What they're doing, they're changing natural systems. Why? Because if we're dependent the way the people, my friends, are in Hawaii, the corporate system does not. So we see them changing genetically modified seeds, so farmers continually have to come back to these seed companies and essentially worship them with our Federal Reserve notes or money or whatever means we have. Again, if people live as God had created under the natural system and natural order, corporations do not profit. So now they have the ability to change these systems, and they have the ability to completely corporatize our weather. And what we found out, there are certain corporations through weather modification and different disasters that benefit from modifying our weather they benefit from floods. We saw in the late spring, early summer, we saw a lot of Midwest flooding. Certain corporations benefited from that. Genetically modified seed companies did. And also the farmers that they broke the levees on actually sold their farmland at pennies on the dollar. So corporations came in and profited. We also saw drought-resistant seeds believed to be part of the Texas drought. So seed companies benefited there. Now we know that the price of beef has gone up considerably, and we also know that food control was a stated agenda stated by Henry Kissinger. He said we're going to use food as a weapon in 2010. Of course, he's spoken many times publicly about his goals to be supportive of population reduction techniques, so this could be part of population reduction. We also found that the weather is being traded on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. So certain corporations, if they have the ability to predict the weather, they do have the ability to make money based on those predictions. Of course, if they can control the weather, they will financially benefit from it. But it goes even deeper than this. The entities that control the weather, it enables these entities to control everything, every food supply and every political system. So we know that there's a globalization effort by these multinational corporations and people that control them to create a one-world government. So if you have a country, let's say in Africa, or even Iran, Ahmadinejad, Iran's president, said that Western countries were using weather control to create droughts in this country. It's a very effective weapon. And if you create droughts, let's say we have a country in Africa that says, you know what, we're keeping our own seeds. We're not falling for the deception and genetically modified seeds. We like things God had created. Well, if you control the weather, you can say, oh, you don't want to buy these seeds. Okay, let's see how long you last. We're going to create a drought in your country. And literally can bring this country's political and economic resources down to their knees so that people begin demanding and essentially worshiping this beast. And that's what we're seeing come into fruition. So weather control is a very effective weapon for bringing about these political changes that we see being orchestrated. And what is the cost? Well, we spoke about our ecology and the effect that it has, and it's devastating. We see every natural organic thing being destroyed. But, hey, we know there are these corporations that want to genetically modify, so it comes under the usurped authority that they can control it. So deeply concerning. Hopefully we can discuss some of the health implications as well.
Yeah, I thank you for correcting me, strontium. I had sulfur in my mind for something else, so thank you so much for correcting me. It's the aluminum, barium, and strontium that are the hallmark chemicals that are being sprayed on us. And yes, please do go into some of the effects that we might recognize. That was a really helpful array of the larger plan. And I think one of the challenges for people connecting into this in the immediacy of it is that generally, our culture is not long-term thinking. The money system has done a very good job of making people concerned about, you know, tomorrow, always tomorrow, always tomorrow, never really thinking about our children's children's children. It has been sort of removed from our consciousness, our responsibility for the times coming. So in the immediacy of what effects we might see right now, maybe that will help people recognize that these programs are in fact happening. I'm sitting here in Boston, Massachusetts, and we have a white sky. We have this film of the chemtrails. They have definitely intensified in the last year. So I'm sitting here watching this in a sea of dead and dying trees and bizarre colors. So I see this, but can you share with us, please, the implications, the health implications in some ways that we might have immediately noticed, you know, the ways that it will affect our health right now?
Well, of course. And what we covered in the film was limited really to aluminum, barium, and strontium to this footprint, but there are many other things being found in the mix. There's Clifford Carnicom, who's researched a lot of biologicals, and what it appears is that they are changing, as we stated, earlier natural systems so that it can come under the control of this beast. We are part of that natural system in our natural state. So if we're filled with heavy metals and other toxins and genetically modified organisms, you are what you eat. So I believe that has an effect on us. But aluminum is very toxic. It's very toxic to neurological systems, and it's also accumulative in the body. There are ways to chelate it and to remove it from the body, and I'm doing that. I would recommend that everybody talk to a naturopathic physician to do this. But it's related in many studies to Alzheimer's, which we've seen a considerable increase around the world. Of course, tests of these of this has been coming around in from the world, and people have been getting blood tests and hair follicle tests, and again, showing very high elevated levels of aluminum, and then also barium and strontium as well, which is without a doubt in our atmosphere. So when it accumulates, it will compromise the immune system and lead to a number of other illnesses. There are people now on record who have been getting Alzheimer's in their 40s, and that was unheard of earlier, so we believe the aluminum is directly related to that. But barium, which, by the way, is a desiccant, people that on heavy spray days typically notice dry mouth, irritability, headache, burning eyes, you know, other substances, but barium will compromise our immune system and leading to much other illnesses, as I'm sure that a number of your listeners are aware of. And then strontium is our carcinogen. So it's a catalyst to cancer. And all three of these substances, which, again, are showing up in very high amounts in people who have been getting tested, is definitely in our atmosphere, and it's from these programs. So it's deeply concerning to us because the health implications are really unquantifiable, and the environmental implications are unquantifiable. What we do know is there are ways, obviously, to strengthen our immune system, but excited that a couple of people on the planet are gaining this godlike power at the expense of every living thing.
How do you communicate the global elite agenda to people for the first time? You know, we are speaking with, in this listening group, people who have some vague awareness, but there seems to be levels of it sinking in, you know, getting the grounded understanding of the fact that we are basically living on a planet under siege. And the why is always the first question, and then the why going to, well, monetary gain. It's for me, it's kind of thin. It's not really computing. It doesn't seem to me. And how do you find, when you're communicating this with people, how do you ground this understanding? Is there something you could offer the listeners to really explore a new avenue of really getting that we are a planet under siege?
Well, we absolutely are, and I think it's essential that people understand this because then it opens them up to looking at other issues. But I think you're correct. You know, a large number of the population on the planet have been conditioned, largely due to our school systems, the lamestream media, mainstream media, and many other facets that they begin to get this group thought. However, I think we see a large awakening. Something is happening spiritually that is beginning to open people up to this. So I have really addressed this issue, the chemtrail geoengineering issue. I do a lot of street activism, and we encourage people who purchase that DVD to make copies and hand out for free. And that does two things. It helps support my work, so I'm able to address this 7 days a week. And then it encourages them to actually take this message to the street. And I'm telling you, it's essential that we do that. But when I hit the streets, which I typically do not go anywhere without a DVD in my hand, and when they spray, I point it out to people, and I usually address them just with the simple question, hey, have you noticed those lines in the sky? And I usually ask them, do you know what they are? And they say, well, they're from airplanes. Yeah, they're from airplanes. Were you aware that geoengineers have been speaking about spraying millions of tons of toxic aluminum into our sky? Oh, yeah, it's real. And, you know, so I usually initiate them by discussing that and by asking the question, and that's why I decided to title the film, What in the World Are They Spraying?, because it's a question that captivates people. We've been very effective by addressing it in that capacity, and I've spoken to activists. Of course, I'm fairly new to this, but some people have been involved in this movement for about 10 to 12 years, and the mainstream has been very effective at demonizing anybody who questions this as being, quote-unquote, a conspiracy theorist. Now, that term has been effectively demonized as well. Anybody that questions the establishment is a wacko conspiracy theorist. And they've been effective, so that has programmed the way that people think. But by adding geoengineers' plans and proposals, which match what we see in the sky, which match numerous patents and matches exactly what we see in the rain, it's really added a lot of credibility. So I typically address it by stating chemtrails and geoengineering because, again, if the establishment has been effective at demonizing the word chemtrails, but when you bring both chemtrails and geoengineering, it's something that they simply cannot refute. for those who might still be in that cloud of deception, mentioning that there have been numerous congressional hearings, that this is not speculation. These programs and the models to these programs are very real. It gives that issue of credibility, and many times this issue can be a gateway into getting people to question, hey, you know, if my skies are being sprayed, if they look at these facts and accept it, which about 99% of the people who see the film have been accepting, typically it will bring them and open them up to other issues. So again, it's been a good gateway for enlightenment and awakening for our fellow human beings, and it's really activated many people. I remember when I first got involved with the movement, and I didn't have a lot of facts. There were some people who perhaps went on Wikipedia, and they said, you know, don't bother me with this conspiracy theory stuff. It wasn't until we produced the film, What in the World Are They Spraying?, and then they had a chance to view it, they said, you know, I apologize. Or most of them have come back and say, you know, I really apologize for the way that I reacted. I do believe in this program. And some of the people that criticized me the most are now my greatest supporters, and they put out all of my work, and they're posting things on Facebook and sending out emails about chemtrail geoengineering programs. So it's a wonderful transition to see. Sometimes it can be a little uncomfortable to be in that spot where you have people attacking you. And there's a spiritual element of this. Hopefully we can cover it. But if you stand strong and if you stand firm, I can assure you the question is not if people will awaken to this. The question is when will they awaken it? Because bottom line is this, they're not planning on slowing down our spraying. It's hidden in plain view. So the question is when, and just hold your ground. This is our earth. The earth is our baby. It is incumbent upon us to fight for our earth, to fight for what has been given to us. We are under siege. There are some, as much as we don't want to look at this, we have to, because not addressing this issue has much further implications than addressing it. We have to look at this. I feel very strongly about that, because I can't think of anything more insidious that has been done to this planet in all of the history, far more than depleted uranium or any other issue. So I really want to stress that.
Thank you so much. I know I really appreciate the freshness of your voice, and that you just got into it and you just kind of were dropped into it and then you really got it. And it really is refreshing for me as somebody who was, you know, in the beginning of it. And I'm really inspired by your stamina and your fresh voice and your clarity. And let's talk about the spiritual component. I, too, share the awakening, and I, too, share the coming around of some of my critics in my past who've, you know, found a bit of the things that I've expressed way over the top. And now it's very exciting to be in this time where it's beyond the theory. It's beyond the finger pointing. It's just, like you said, hiding in plain view. And it's really exciting to be living in this time, and I find myself thanking the ancestors, you know, the many who have gone before us and didn't have this choice or didn't have this chance to really be in this opportunity of really seeing the light they carried honored and respected. And so it really is an exciting time, and we still... we are, I know we're going to make it, and we are really... still waiting for the bulk of humanity to kind of show up. And the spiritual component is where we are all joined. That is our collective radar in our hearts where we meet. So please share, what is the spiritual component from your perspective and your journey in this movement?
Well, there's definitely a strong spiritual component to this, and those of us who have, for whatever reason, been chosen to be enlightened and to have the veil taken off, we see this very clearly, but we have to realize that was a point of spiritual awakening for us, and most of the world is still what many people call sleeping, and there is a vibration of truth that those of us who have been called by our Creator resonate to. And we have an ability to sense it. And we have the ability as well to sense deception if we can really get in tune with our source. That is from source point, our Creator. We have that connection. Most of the world is in tune with the frequency of deception. And what has happened, let's say that we're all radios, and this is in a very basic sense, and Creator has set our radio at 77.7. And all of our ancestors listened to that radio station. But what is happening, the beast, the system is changing what we are in tune to. So they're changing our frequency to 66.6, or not ours, but many people, without their knowing it. So now they're tuning into a different signal. Now they're tuning in to this frequency of deception. They change that by many different methods. People that sit in front of ABC, CNN, all of the mainstream media that are very effective subliminals in the messages, and it's presented very effectively. But it is to get us thinking in a certain way so that we're not vibrating with Creator. Why would somebody want to do that? Well, let's look at this overall principle. When we're in tune with source point, that being of our Creator, we will desire the things that are natural. We will desire to be free. We will desire organic foods, and we will not bow down to this corporate system, which I call the beast. If you look at most people today, you wonder, you know, why people do the things that they do, why they're stressed out, why they're not living lives of fulfillment because they're working 90 hours a day, you know, making somebody else a whole lot of money. It's because there's been deception, there's been a mindset in changing. So, yes, those people are worshiping this corporate system. They've learned to do that through the TV, through movies, and through our educational system. And then I think some highly sophisticated methods that we're unaware of. But at any rate, the corporate system cannot thrive if we're in tune with our Creator. Because, again, we will desire the things of creation, natural organic food, living free, living independently. But if we get in tune with deception, then, yes, we will give our worship, our money, our power, even our freedom over to this system that we rapidly see developing. So, again, I call it the beast. I know it's prophesied in many different religions, but I think in a nutshell, that is what it is doing. So for some reason, again, some people have been called, and their radio has been changed to resonate with the frequency of Creator. So within making What in the World Are They Spraying, I really wanted to put two components in it. And one was that element of truth and the storyline of what's going on, but then we also backed it up with a lot of scientific evidence. And what that did, it appealed to both markets. It appealed to both people. People who resonated to deception, they're saying, wait a minute, CNN, you know, I saw the truth of this. It makes complete sense to me. Why isn't CNN talking about this? Why is MSNBC, wait a minute, something's going on here. Maybe they're not telling me the whole truth. So it was very effective in that, in getting, again, people to question this entire system and to question what is. Make sense?
It makes perfect sense. And within the movie as well is a great little nugget of the deception in progress, the ongoing campaign to explore the possibility of introducing geoengineering at the same time as the geoengineering programs clearly in process. That is such a great example of how we are living in those two worlds. We can see outside if we can see, and I liked your analogy, I like that one a lot, the radio frequency, if we can go outside and look and see, and notice that the sky has changed. And at the same time, we can also tune to the deceptive channel of, gee, well, we're thinking about this and all of their blah-de-blah, which is interesting because now we have everything. My experience is the creation itself is speeding up. So part of that is time collapsing. You know, the past, the present, and the future are all happening at once, which they always were anyway. But now we are basically running out of places to hide and must face things at a much quicker rate if we choose to evolve from here. And so when I watch that movie, I kind of enjoy that part of it. I'm like, well, guys, you know, before in all the war games and all the war toys, just media, you can use the media, like the Gulf of Tonkin, right, that started the Vietnam War. That was a deception, false flag thing that is well documented now, but it took many years for that to surface and many years for that to be brought to light. And then by then, you know, how many millions of people were killed and how many stories spun off and whatever. But this one is just writing right in the now. You know, we have now chemtrails and we have now this ridiculous, deceptive ploy to try to sell us something that's already happening and we're already seeing the damage of, and how that plays out. And I think it's also really important that when you address the beast and the corporate takeover, that this didn't just start, you know, 10 years ago. This has been going on, you know, for eons, that this has been part of the human story for a very long time. And the chemtrails in particular, in the research that I've done, what I learned in some sources was that they actually began experimenting with them in the 40s as a tool to manipulate the weather that has been in the war chest for eons. And the Chinese have admitted to it. I mean, the idea of manipulating weather has been with us for a really long time. You know, these technologies have evolved after a long time and coming to this ability, using technology ultimately against us. And I wonder if you could share a little bit about, you know, the how. Now, these are big planes. Obviously, they're spraying these things. But do you know how these are manufactured? And they are obviously sprayed. And do they have special spray things? You know, I mean, I think about how many human beings are involved in this, which gives me all that much more hope about all the avenues that we can count on to rise above this. And so I just marvel at the logistics sometimes at the production of this. How many people must be involved in mixing and developing these chemicals and loading these planes? And are these planes military, do you know? How many of these are commercial? Are you aware of any of those logistics?
Well, these are worldwide programs. They're in just about every country and above almost every country, but not every country. Certain areas are not seeing them. Via satellite, you can see, you know, the spraying right on the borders of some of the countries that do not have spraying. But anyways, that indicates that there is some type of political affiliation to these programs. So with that question, there are many different governments, many different corporations involved. There are people who are supplying these toxins. There are also many different airplanes. A lot of airplanes, C-135s, have been recorded spraying. A company that is believed to be directly involved is an airline company called Evergreen Aviation. And many people know them as the past CIA front company, Air America, which has been involved in a lot of the importation of cocaine and heroin into the United States. So anyways, if you go on their website, you'll see that they boast about their super tanker and their ability to spray. So how are they spraying this? We know there are many corporations involved, but there is what many call the smoking gun patent, and that is called the Welsbach patent. And it is a device that was designed to spray specifically aluminum oxide, and other aerosols into our sky from airplanes for the stated goal, again, of cooling the planet. So there are many patents, and again, they match what we see in the sky, and they match, there are like 98 different weather modification or geoengineering patents, and they match exactly what we see in our atmosphere in terms of contamination. So the evidence is in. I mean, we're definitely getting sprayed. There are many different people involved, but I'll tell you what, there's also compartmentalization, and people say, well, there have to be several thousands of people involved. Surely one of them would have been a whistleblower. And there is a thing called compartmentalization. And what's interesting, if you've ever worked for a corporation, I've worked for many. That is my past. And, you know, I always had a specific duty to do, and I was told what the agenda of this corporation was, but oftentimes I found out that the agenda was completely different from what I was told. And I can relate to a specific project which I was involved in and I actually resigned over, which I was asked to do specific duties for this corporation. And about 2 months into it, I found out that the work that I had been doing was actually deceptive and that wasn't in the best interest of the community that I was working in. So I actually resigned over that issue when I found out. But I can relate that to this whole corporate system. Many people, perhaps the people who are delivering the aluminum and other toxins to the airplanes, have no idea. You know, they're said, deliver this product from the truck, hook up the hose, and put it into that airplane. And I'm sure they're not told specifically the entire agenda of these programs. So if anybody questions, you know, there are several thousands of people involved with these programs, surely somebody would have blown the whistle. I would question them. If you look back into the Manhattan Project, where there were several thousand people, and it was over a decade before anybody came forward to discuss this. And that's primarily due to many different things. You know, the pilots flying the airplanes, I think, know pretty well that if they blow the whistle, their family, not only their careers will be on the line, but their family members and the health of everything, or perhaps they're hired based on the fact of a top-secret mission. And if you blow the whistle, there are considerable consequences for that. I ask people to look at this. Consider the consequences of not addressing it, because it really is the health, longevity, and future of every living thing on the planet.
Thank you. And we can see the footprint already here in the New England area. There are numbers of trees, evergreens, that no longer have their needles and trees dropping their leaves green. Many farmers this year reported difficulty growing crops that normally, for instance, the zucchinis and even tomatoes, there's been a substantial repetitive comment of the soil changing. So it's not that hard to really put your head around it if you take the time to study. And this also, in thinking of our climate as a global community coming together, the United States has never come together about anything, and I think this is such a great opportunity because it is something that does not discriminate about colors or class or anything. I mean, this stuff will affect the neurological system of anybody regardless of their station in life. So I find that the opportunity in this issue really has the potential of uniting people across this nation as has never been done before. So I am inspired to be an agent for this information and grateful to finally be connecting in a more cohesive way with others who are on that journey as well. And we are coming close to wrapping things up here. And would you like to offer your contact information, where people can find out about you, the movie, any closing thoughts and such?
Absolutely. The contact information I have, truthmediaproductions.us, that is a compilation of the work that I have put together in the past couple of years on this issue. But again, we're encouraging everybody who purchases a DVD to make copies and hand out for free. And once you see the film, I think you'll be provoked. You'll be energized to go out and really spread this message to the community. So again, there are a number of things that we can do to stop these programs, and I know that we didn't get into solutions too much, but you can find those on the Coalition Against Geoengineering website. But to purchase the film, what in the world are they spraying.info? And again, help support our work and bringing these truths out to the masses. So if it weren't for the thousands of people who have supported our work, we would not have been able to address this in the capacity that we have been doing. So I want to thank you so much for addressing this, bringing this issue to light, and really for all that you're doing to bring truth.
Well, you're welcome. We're all in this together, Michael, and we shall carry on. Absolutely.
Yes, absolutely.
Thank you
correct.
So much for taking time to share with us. And do you have one or two solutions to send us out?
Well, in New York, they're working on a county ordinance to ban geoengineering. There's political support for that. And we're also working on one in various parts of Hawaii, different counties. Again, ordinances to ban geoengineering. So that's one of many things. But again, we have to realize that awareness is still kind of low on this issue. The film has woken up millions of people, but it's still not enough. We need every person on the planet to be aware of this. Bottom line is we're under attack. So I think getting critical mass, getting awareness out is one of the most important things that we can do. Replicating DVDs, sending out YouTubes, there is YouTube available of the video. So it's important that we get the word out, number one. And that's about it. I mean, we could talk about solutions for an entire program, and I think that it's important. So perhaps we can do it again.